What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in-store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Strictly Business, Variety's weekly podcast featuring conversations with industry leaders about the business of media and entertainment. I'm Cynthia Littleton, co-editor-in-chief of Variety. Today, my guest is Henry Munoz III. Munoz has many titles and roles in his career: architect, activist, philanthropist, entrepreneur. But for this conversation, he's the new owner and chairman of Funny or Die. Funny or Die was founded in 2007 by Will Ferrell, Adam McKay, and others as a home for short-form video at a time when video on the internet was a lot more herky-jerky than the 4K quality material we watch now on streaming video platforms. Munoz acquired Funny or Die and its content library last year. He is the son of activists from Texas who grew up to join the family business. He's also a trained architect, and he counts the late Texas Governor Ann Richards as a key mentor. She appointed him to roles on the Texas Transportation Commission and to run the transit system in San Antonio. He's also served as a Democratic activist and big-time fundraiser through numerous ventures. Of late, he is a co-founder of the Somos Community Care Healthcare Network that serves New York City. In our conversation, Munoz is candid about his background and what he describes as his journey as a brown gay man from Texas. His enthusiasm for using the Funny or Die platform to change culture and foster unity in this much divided country is very infectious. That's all coming up after the break. Henry R. Munoz III, chairman of Funny or Die. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You were something of a surprise bidder for Funny or Die last year when the company went on the block. Tell us what it was about the opportunity that attracted you. Why did you buy Funny or Die?
Well, Cynthia, it was kind of a surprise to me too. I think I was at one of those points in my life where I was trying to decide what would come next. I have been working in the streets of New York for the last several years, taking care of the health of poor people and immigrants, the working poor, communities of color, people who don't speak English very well. The last 2 years of it have been devoted to testing and vaccinating people. And I had decided with some of my friends who gathered around this moment to create a coalition that could share information with people across the country, particularly Latinos, around what to be prepared for in this pandemic. And that's what introduced me to Funny or Die. And I think I just fell in love with the fact that that's a business that seems to have blended political thought and philanthropy and comedy. And I think the country needs a laugh right now. We need to, we need some humor. And so the combination of all of those and the fact that I'm a person who has undertaken change in many industries, particularly on behalf of my community, the Latino community, made me decide that maybe Funny or Die was the right next step.
Was there something that you saw? Was there a sketch or a bit on Funny or Die that caught your attention that led you to the site, or had you been aware of it generally?
Well, I spent a few years of my life as the finance chairman of the Democratic National Committee and worked very closely with the President Obama, with President Obama at the time. And of course, we all remember that moment of President Obama and Zach Galifianakis between two ferns, using humor really to educate people about signing up for the Affordable Care Act and creating more access to healthcare. And so that moment, I think I was, you know, I was a little bit involved in that. And so that moment of using humor and using culture to connect to people who need help, I think is where I first really became aware of the rich history of Funny or Die.
Henry, let's take a step back and tell us about the business, the different businesses that you have built and sort of the operation that you had that allowed you to do the Funny or Die deal.
Well, I've never been involved in a business that I was educated to undertake. So when I was a very young man, I was living in Texas. I'd gone back to Texas after college because my father had gotten sick. And somehow out of that experience, found myself in architecture. I'm not a trained architect, but I think at this point, I'm a really good architect of change. And that business, in combination with some my political activity, you know, I had a great mentor. Her name was Ann Richards. She was funny, right? And she used her big personality to create change, to create a new Texas. And I was a part of that movement. I was the transportation commissioner for the state of Texas for almost 4 years. I was very young. And it taught me a lot about the difficulties of moving institutions and bureaucracies forward. It also taught me that the stories of my people, of my community, weren't the stories that were in museums or archives or libraries. It taught me a lot about if you're going to build a building, design a university, for example, that it's important that that university look like the people that we're hoping to inspire. So that started about a 30-year journey to try and imprint on the built environment, on architecture and urban planning, the cultural traditions, the history, the storytelling of Latinos in this country. That led me to the board of the National Board of the Smithsonian Institution. I'm very happy that I just was elected the chairman of the newest board, which is the board to create the National Museum of the American Latino. And that is what introduced me to President Obama. And President Obama really was the person who taught me that I could change, create massive change in cultural institutions and businesses. So long story short, I found myself working to change healthcare in New York City. And that has been 8 years now. And I'm not a doctor, but I have learned how to create a closer connection between a very confusing system and people in this country, and in particular, people who don't necessarily speak English, just like my grandmother when she needed medical attention. And we've figured out a way to do it at a more affordable cost and improving quality and doing what really needs to happen, which is allowing working people to have the same approach to wellness and preventative care, and not to wait until it's too late to get into the hospital. So I have built a business in Texas and built a business in New York. Both of them are involved in this kind of intersection, right? Mm-hmm. Of design and politics or government. And now I want to do what has not been done, I think, in the entertainment industry, is to bring that same kind of leadership, ownership, and inclusiveness to entertainment on behalf of the Latino community, communities of color, gay people. I mean, you know, somebody said that when I was announced, when it, what the surprise announcement of who the new owner of Funny or Die was, they said, oh, yeah, he's Latino. And they go, oh, it's worse than you think. He's gay, too.
I
mean,
I would really hope that we were in a world where I would hope that nobody would think that, but the very least not say it to your face. But I realize I'm not delusional. We're not in that world, which just, I'm guessing, I get the sense that that's the kind of thing that just motivates you that much harder.
Well, you know, I was raised by two activist parents who my father decided when he graduated from school that he wanted to use his education to help other people. And my mother joined him. And, you know, I spent a lot of my time when I was a little boy on picket lines. You know, I went to private school, but I was on a picket line every weekend. And I think the lesson I learned there is that when there is, you know, injustice finds its way into the daily lives of many people. And you don't, many times I've been asked, well, where is the great leadership in the Latino community? And I say, it's us. You know, we don't have to wait for a hero. We're our own heroes. And I think there's a lot of people like me who are in very modest ways trying to create that change. And that's really what the country needs right now. And a good laugh.
Definitely. Have you found parallels in your activism work and your business work? I guess I should ask, are there similar skills to being, to help to generate a movement, to help to lead people to an understanding or to help, you know, lead people to a healthcare site? Are there similarities to doing that kind of work and similarities to doing the business work of, you know, profit and loss statements? And do those two activities have common threads? It seems like they do.
Absolutely. I mean, I think everything I've ever done has been an intersection of activism, philanthropy, good business sense, and culture. And it didn't matter whether it was in architecture, it doesn't matter whether it's in healthcare, it doesn't really matter whether it's in entertainment. It's all about bringing those strengths together and educating people. Really the fastest growing demographic groups in this country, the future audiences, the future consumers, the people who are born here, the people who are youngest, who are going to move this country forward, and educating them, dealing with their identity in a different way. And so I think all of those things coming together, at least in my career, have been the strength upon which I've been able to accomplish massive change within business, a new model of healthcare, within real estate and architecture and urban planning, a new architectural language that is about the blended cultural identity of a place like Texas that unites people. And I hope that's what Funny or Die is going to be in the future, because one of the things that really attracted me to the leadership of Funny or Die, all of whom are there, even Will Ferrell stayed as a shareholder and an owner, is that they were willing to evolve the studio into a place that is funny, original, and diverse, and that really looks at a new methodology of storytelling hand in hand with building upon, you know, the platform that they were successful at building originally, but now needs to evolve into the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. What, I mean, can I press you? Do you think, obviously, Funny or Die has built, made its name on short form comedy? A lot of things over the years really went viral. They were certainly one of the forerunners of things going viral. I think about some of those fun early Will Ferrell bits with his daughter. Those were really funny. And I remember watching those on more herky jerky internet than we have today. But I will say, like a lot of entertainment, if as I look back at it, I think about it, the number of Latinx, the number of artists of color were more few and far between, that is for sure.
Well, I think if you look at the history of Funny or Die, people would look at that moment and say they were innovators in social media and digital media. But that part of our culture, of the popular culture, global popular culture, continues to change. I think that we're at a moment in the history of entertainment where the voice of, for example, Latino and Latin American people is becoming a global language, right? A global voice. I think that, you know, that the best way I would describe it is that funny, original, diverse, where the programming of or Funny or Die also evolves from, you know, I don't think anybody, it's not a surprise if I say, hey, the origins of Funny or Die were kind of bro humor. Okay.
Right.
I love that. I don't want them to stop doing that, but I want us to be more inclusive and to reflect, you know, the what the young people in this country, the identity that they share, what they'd like to see in their entertainment, the stories that they want to tell, the way that they deal with identity. I mean, they don't even just look at themselves as Latino, right? There's so many components to what it means to be, you know, here, this is my identity. I mean, I started this conversation that way. I'm brown, I'm Latino, and I'm gay. I'm a businessman, and I'm an activist, and I'm a philanthropist. I have many interests. And so I'm really working very hard with a group of people who have been at Funny or Die for a long time, and a new generation of talent at Funny or Die to open up that aperture. We just bought a very funny book called Hola Papi, the story, a very humorous book of essays by a young man who, you know, kind of bluffed his way into being the advice columnist for Grindr. You know, somebody of my age, we didn't know what Grindr was. But you look at these amazing stories that people have to tell, and you say, let's invest in that talent, and let's invest in those stories. And I hope to bring more of that to Funny or Die, to FOD. And I think we are. We're all committed to it.
How, in terms of how the company is operating, have you changed much? I mean, I realize a lot of the operations are in Los Angeles. There's a studio. Do you tend to keep that status quo? Or do you think you'll expand the studio business?
Well, I definitely think we're going to expand what we're doing. I don't know what that means in terms of expanding geographically. I'm comfortable being on a plane all the time. I think that there's incredible content being created all over the country and across the globe. Really, globalism is something that everybody is interested in. How do you take what we are experiencing here and translate it in the same way that things are happening in other places and translate it for our audiences? And so I would have to say, yes, we're going to expand the meaning of Funny or Die. We're going to expand the audiences of Funny or Die. We're going to forecast trends in the Latino community for sure, and in communities of color. We're going to really take a hard look at what identity means in this moment. And we're going to look at our traditional strengths, and we're going to mine that foundation of comedy, because I think there's not enough great comedy creators that are being recognized by this industry yet. And we're going to move all of that forward. And that's going to be something that's very good, both for my business and for this industry and for the young people around the globe who are looking to have a laugh and to see themselves, you know, on in the media. It's important.
Don't go anywhere. There's more to come from Funny or Die owner Henry Munoz III. And we're back with more from Funny or Die owner Henry Munoz III. How about Funny or Die, and just in terms of as a business, do you still see largely advertising and content licensing would be the revenue drivers? Do you have any sense of transforming it from the business side?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're already transforming. I think that if you ask the people at Funny or Die what the future brings, I think that this idea, I've created a development fund, for example, long form content. They've never had a development fund. I mean, they couldn't invest in real quality work. I mean, they created quality shorts, digital programming, right? Mm-hmm. But they never had the freedom, the creative freedom, right, to take on that movie or that television series and to own it and to develop it. And that's something that we're doing right now. So increasingly, I think that Funny or Die is going to be a place that invests in both new content, new media, and also traditional content television programming and movies that maybe with young creators and people who have never had an opportunity to have that first movie or television, that first book to be a success. So we're definitely evolving. Mm-hmm.
Do you, how did you finance the transaction? Do you have partners in the deal? Did you bring in any kind of investment financing or anything like that?
No, I took a big gamble on my own. You know, here's one thing I think you'll find about me in every single thing that I've done. I'm not a billionaire, right? I don't have that kind of wealth, but I am a person. My dad used to tell me when I was growing up, no peso, no seso. And so many times.
that's a great saying.
You know, many times, you know, we sit over to the side, right? The Latino community sits to the side and we say, wow, I wish we could do this or we could do that. And I think I'm lucky in that because of my hard work, I'm in a position in which I actually have the opportunity to invest in something. So I personally invested in Funny or Die. I'm lucky that my husband, Kyle, decided that it was a good thing to do. And while maybe originally I thought I was going to be kind of an absentee owner, I think everybody agrees now that as a team, we're building something that is stronger, both financially and in terms of the opportunity that it's creating and the stories that it wants to tell. And I have a great faith that that investment is going to pay off. And maybe at some point, the scale of it and the opportunity to, for example, create a Latino emphasis or a Latino studio that is a part of Funny or Die or sits next to Funny or Die will be, you know, of a scale that I can't afford. But at this point, this is a journey of activism, passion, and personal belief in a place that, interestingly enough, just celebrated its quinceañera, April 12th, quinceañera, the 15th anniversary of Funny or Die. And I'm so honestly honored to be an owner of a studio in Hollywood. There aren't many of us. It's not lost on me. You know, I had this session with these young Latino, not just creators, but managers and agents. And there's I'm sitting there and they're 29 years old and 30 years old and 32 years old. And I said to them, you're a big deal. Can you imagine if you told your stories, what that little, all of those young people were sitting in Texas and California and Louisiana and New York and all of these places who look and say, I wish I could be that. I mean, it's not me, it's them. Look at what they're doing. And so, you know, I'm very, very hopeful that Funny or Die, this kind of marriage of a movement of inclusiveness and good business, because I believe this is good business. You know, I've been telling the people that I've met in the entertainment industry, you know, many years ago when I was first appointed to the Smithsonian board, I think I was the first Latino ever appointed to serve on the board of the nation's museum, right? And it had been 150 years already. And so the idea there that it was anything except in the best interest of the Smithsonian Institution to reach out and include the stories, the objects, the audience development of the fastest growing population of people in this country. And once people know that, I mean, look at the future of the people who are going to buy television sets and refrigerators. Their last names are Diaz and Munoz and Ramirez.
Those
are
cars and cell phones and you name it.
Absolutely. And so, you know, it makes great business. I mean, I think maybe nobody yet has quite figured out the magic formula for how to deal with them yet, how to reach them, how to inspire them, because it is a complex issue. I mean, mm-hmm. we're not one thing. And young people don't identify purely as Latino. And we want to be a part of this country. We're Americans. We aspire to be Americans. With many, many cases, we come to this country hoping, honored by that opportunity. So it is complex, but it is also good business. And I think that this industry and the industries that this industry sells to, when they have an opportunity, when I have an opportunity to explain it to them, I think that they'll buy into it. I mean, and you look at it, we need to laugh, right? We need humor. It gets us through our most difficult moments. I'm so proud of this movie that we're producing with Roku called Weird. You know, the story of Weird Al Yankovic. He was one of my favorite recording artists when I was younger, and it stars Daniel Radcliffe. And so there you have these two generations. Lin-Manuel Miranda wanted to come do this part in this movie because he's always been a fan of Weird Al. You look at that, or you look at, we're producing, you know, with one of the people you just talked about, Stephen Colbert, who decided that one of his first projects outside of The Late Show should be Pickleball, a special about pickleball. I mean, is there any more lighthearted diversion than pickleball right now? But, you know, we need that too. And so, you know, I'm my dirty little secret is that I can be funny, and I love being around funny people. And the people at Funny or Die, they understand the importance of laughter.
Do you see any more acquisitions in your future? Do you think will you bolt on, or you're going to build with what you got?
Cynthia, are you challenging me to keep acquiring? You know, I'm a good shopper. and I do know that as the industry continues to evolve, and as the ideas at Funny or Die continue to evolve and to grow, and the aspiration there continues to move forward, that it is likely that there will be, let's call it, could be an acquisition, could be an enhanced scope, could be other talent that needs to be brought to the table to accomplish what we want to accomplish. I think everybody understands that. Mm-hmm. And the good thing, I always say this, they make fun of me for saying it, but I'm not intimidated. Maybe it's because, you know, I'm a pretty lucky guy. I'm very happy. I definitely have been through a life where I understand just how lucky I am to come from where I've come from, to fight for what I believe is right, and to have succeeded not only for myself, but for other people. And I am not intimidated by challenges. I'm invigorated by challenges. And I love opportunity, because the more you create opportunity and the more you let people come in, the better off we all are. So I don't think this is just the beginning for Funny or Die. This is absolutely the first moment. It hasn't even been a year yet. I'm proud of what our team has been able to create. I'm proud of the people that we've been able to add to the team. And we'll see what the future brings, but I think the future is going to bring more and better content creation spread across platforms in a very interesting multicultural manner.
Well, we're definitely eager to stay tuned. Henry, you kind of touched on it a bit at the start, but I'd love to know, what were some of the formative experiences? What really set you off onto the path that you are on today? And it is a very unique, you have a very unique sort of role for yourself. What led you to where you are today?
You know, definitely growing up in South Texas, the son of two activists, seeing, you know, firsthand that economic development there was $1.25 minimum wage for the farm workers, I think. You know, my mom, I'm a co-producer of Funny Girl on Broadway. And when I decided to get involved in it, Sonia Friedman, the lead producer, said, why do you want to do this? And I said, so funny, because when I tried to come out to my mom, she said, oh, mijo, don't worry about it. I knew you were gay when you came out of Funny Girl Singing. You know, I think that kind of, I think that kind of unconditional acceptance and love, I was so lucky to have. I had great mentors. You know, I had Ann Richards was, I think about her every day and the things that she taught me about equality and how hard fought that comes. And the fact that she gave me a job and said, you know, you really don't want it. I didn't want it. It's going to be difficult. You know, you're probably going to hate me when this is all over. I didn't. But it wasn't easy. It was the same thing. It was like, how do you change the system in Texas to build economic development through infrastructure where none existed? It was hard, but it taught me so much about my power to change American institutions, change transportation, change the nation's museum, change the landscape of national parks and monuments. You know, I'm so proud of, you know, working with President Obama and Vice President Biden to create a national monument at Stonewall. You know, I think I'm the only person who ever took the President of the United States to a gay bar. But I did, and he went, and he is the only president, I think, to ever, I don't know. But I think he definitely was the only president to go on an official visit. So, you know, I there have been moments. There have been mentors. They have been married to a real belief that we have nothing to lose when we're not afraid and we stand up for who we are. And we realize that the country is stronger when we're willing to invest in ourselves, invest in our country, and move our businesses forward, move our cultural institutions forward. And at the end of the day, move the next generation of leaders forward with us.
That's a lot of important work. Henry, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about your work and your vision for Funny or Die. We will definitely stay tuned.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. We love to hear from listeners. Please go to Variety.com and sign up for the Strictly Business newsletter. It's free. And as always, be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Strictly Business.